Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. The agents over at the Magic for Less are standing by right now. They're Santa's little helper. They're going to help you put a great Disney vacation for 2017 under that tree. That's right. It's not too late to blow the socks off of your family and let them know, hey, we're going on an awesome Walt Disney World vacation, maybe headed out to Disneyland to where it all started. Or let's go big or go home. Let's take a Disney cruise somewhere tropical here in 2017. Not too late to put that under the tree. You could wrap a guidebook. You could wrap some balloons like Ricky suggested a couple of weeks ago. Regardless, think of the excitement on Christmas morning as the family finds out that they're heading to their favorite place. Of course, they're there to help you plan any vacation that you like, but they love those Disney surprises around the holidays. Check them out today. Support the folks who support us and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast over at themagicforless.com. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1101 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. Happy December. Oh, panic mode. How did it get to be December? But hey, it is. It's December 2nd today. 23 days until the big day of Christmas. For those of you that celebrate Christmas, it's going to be awesome this year. And then 1 week later, we head down to Walt Disney World for Dopey 2017. Or as Mallory calls it, just her birthday for 9 days. So we'll let her think that. We'll let her think that. Anyway, you know, that's what you do when you're celebrating that big ninth birthday. How'd she become nine?
What's up with that, too?
Again, two months old when this podcast started, just for the record. Anyway, we're here to talk about, there's, you know, a little bit of news over the past couple of weeks. We're going to scrape the bottom of the barrel, see what we can find, to just talk about all the stuff that's been going on here on a Friday. Fridays are good to stand around the water cooler and kind of catch up with the news from the week. And that's what we're doing today with Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and of course, the place to be, which is the Mouse for Less. What's up, Ricky?
Yeah, Disney's been keeping me busy lately. Let's just call a spade. I've been writing my little fingers off, that's for sure. So it has definitely been a crazy time, and I am excited because it has been a crazy time. So I'm ready to dive in, that's for sure.
So I'm going to let you kind of take the lead on some of the stories, but I just want to lead off with one because I saw that earlier this week, actually last weekend, there was a cast member preview of Rivers of Light over at Disney's Animal Kingdom, which I got to see about 10 minutes of it back in April at the Awakened Summer Media event, which the part we got to see, amazing. Beautifully, beautiful visually, you know, they explained kind of the story, the concept they were going for. What we got to see was great. Then it never came around, you know, for what, like 8 months, like it just disappeared. So what's the latest on Rivers of Light and how did that cast member preview go?
Well, who knows what's the latest with Rivers of Light? Of course, by the time this, you know, podcast comes out, maybe they would have announced that, you know, Rivers of Light debuts tomorrow. I don't know.
That's how it goes. It always goes like that for us.
It always goes like that for us. So, you know, if it's debuting tomorrow, sorry. But, you know, honestly, I have to admit, I was really, really surprised when I heard that they were going to do this cast member preview of The Rivers of Light. It came out of the complete blue for me, you know, because we'd been hearing, you know, rumors about, oh, they're going to do, you know, this for the D23 event that just happened for Destination D. And then, of course, nothing came to fruition with that and, you know, stuff like that. So I was thinking, okay, this really is not anywhere close to being ready. I knew that they probably wanted to try to get it open for the holidays, but then we didn't hear anything. So the fact that they had this preview now really, really surprised me. I heard very, very, very mixed reviews on the preview. The fact of the matter of what I've been hearing is that it was technologically a beautiful, beautiful show. You know, just the everything that all the pieces that came together was just really, really beautiful. The part that they're having trouble with, it seems now, because obviously before I think they were having problems technically, now I think the problem is this, and that it's really kind of what I'm hearing is kind of boring. So, you know, I kind of can understand that a little bit. The thing that I'm hearing is it doesn't have a big wow moment, wow factor. You know, like Eliminations, I love Eliminations, but it has that kind of slow part in the middle, you know, where you're just kind of, you're watching
Watch
the glow,
yourself.
Which I love. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But a lot of other people find it boring.
That's when everybody else goes to check Twitter for like 3
exactly,
minutes. But
exactly.
Those are not true Disney fans. Those people are
those
weak.
Those are not true Disney fans. But I'm hearing that Rivers of Light is more along the lines of the middle section of Eliminations than the end or beginning sections of Eliminations. So, you know, and because they can't have fireworks because of, you know, the animals, it makes it a little more difficult. So I don't know if Disney's going to take the suggestions and feedback from the cast members that saw the show and rework it a little bit, or whether they're just did the preview to get it ready to go for the holiday season or what. I'm sure we will find out more coming up, probably already, but because that's how life works for us. So, you know, really, I don't know where things are going with Rivers of Light right now. And that's interesting for me, because I think obviously Disney wants it out there. They want a reason for people to stay at Disney's Animal Kingdom, especially at night, especially with the holidays coming up. I don't know if they're ready for it with the show. I guess we'll find out come soon whether or not it'll be ready for the holidays or not. But yeah, I've definitely heard a lot of mixed reviews. Technically beautiful, but show really slow.
Yeah, but this is one of those things, man. It is just killing Disney. You know, it's one of those things they
yes.
hyped up so much. You know, like this is going to
be hyped so
I mean,
bad.
They just want this thing to be gone. You know what I'm saying? Like right now, you really can't abandon it. I think they just want to get it out there and just be like, we have Rivers of Light, you know, and just, okay, let's move on to the next thing. Let's forget we ever hyped something this big.
You know, here's my thought, though. I mean, yes, of course they have Rivers of Light, and they obviously have done all this work to get it in the position that it is. But now they have the drone technology, and I think it's one of those things where they're probably kicking themselves. You know, they're going, darn it, we wish we had that drone technology, you know, just a few months or years earlier so that we could use that in maybe Disney's Animal Kingdom. Although I think, of course, they probably want to use that in Epcot, because I think that that's what we're going to see going forward is, I'm sorry, Mike, Eliminations will probably be going and Epcot will probably be getting the drone show. So, you know, I think they just need to have some wow factor with this, and I think it will be okay. I don't know what that is. I've heard, you know, that they were going to have, I think they're going to have like fire and, you know, the lanterns and stuff like that. I think that a lot of that has been cut because of the fact that, you know, Shanghai had overruns, and of course this had overruns as well. So, you know, I don't know how much of it is left from what they originally had conceived. I don't know. When these stories will come out eventually, I'm sure we'll find out what actually did kind of go on way much longer in the future. But yeah, this is definitely killing Disney right now. They just they're just holding on to hope that Rivers of Light will, you know, come out. And I think that, honestly, it needs to be a show that at this point they need to take their time with and make sure that it's a home run and make sure that the story is tight and make sure that it's got that wow factor, because they've already put it off this long. So, and like I said, Disney's Animal Kingdom is needing something to keep people in at night. So if they've already gone this long, I say take their time and get it right. And yeah, it's kind of a pain for those of us who are, you know, going, wow, okay, it's, you know, been 8-9 months and still nothing. But, you know, if they want Disney's Animal Kingdom to really have that night factor be something that's so big, which of course they're wanting, that's why they've pumped all this money into it, they need to get it right. So I say take your time and get it right.
I agree. Yeah, there's no urgency at this point. They've missed
There's no urgency at this point. Yeah. There's nothing. So take your time, do it right, do it the way it's so that it has that punch, has that wow factor, and really blow our socks off. Don't release it just because you think, oh, okay, well, we're 9 months late. We better do this now. The holiday season's coming up, and we want this for the parks. Don't do it that way. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, because so, I mean,
they did that with Jungle Book. They don't need to do that with Disney. That's right.
And, you know, like if it's really awesome and it's something that blows people's socks off, you know what? In 2 weeks, they're going to forget about the delays and just be glad they have the show, you know? So
that's
a good point. One other thing before you get into all these other news stories, I was just thinking about this. I wanted to put this out there on the podcast because, you know, I've been thinking about that drone show ever since I got to see it down there at the media event a couple weeks ago.
No, but
I mean, you know, a lot of people now have seen it. You know, they're doing it more regularly
Not
at
me.
Disney Springs, but you will. The thing is, you know, I've been trying to think about, you know, how cool this is. The collaboration between Disney and Intel, you know, a leading edge tech company, you know, a story company of Disney. And, you know, the one thing that really came back to me over the last few days as I've been contemplating this is that, and again, I know this is kind of sappy, it's a Disney fan in me, but man, Walt Disney, this would be his thing. I mean, you're talking about somebody who, he was a futurist and he loved cutting edge technology, especially when it came to telling a story. If he could use technology to tell a story in a unique way, he would have been all over this. And, you know, I just picture, you know, I mean, could you, it's like, I could just see like Walt standing there, like the ghost of Walt right there, you know, next to Bongos, looking out over Disney Springs in this Christmas tree, you know, with this quick little Christmas story being told over the speakers in 360 degrees, about 150 feet tall, just lighting up and rotating over the water. I mean, am I going too far in this, or do you think this would have been like Walt's dream? I mean, the merging of technology and storytelling to just wow people. I think it would have been cool.
I think you're right. I think it absolutely would have. You know, Walt was so much a visionary and really embraced all the new technological advances that came out. And how to incorporate those technological advances into his park and make them unique. You know, that's why we have things like, you know, the monorail and the TTA. You know, those things are, you know, they were going to go into Epcot, the city. And, you know, that those technological advances, those were things that he was really excited about. And so I absolutely think that something like this, marrying that technology with the Disney parks, is absolutely something that Walt would come up with. And I think this drone technology would totally have intrigued him. You know, it's certainly interesting, you know, seeing drones just in regular life, you know, what they're going to be able to do for, you know, like Amazon, you know, and delivering packages and stuff like that. I think that kind of stuff would intrigue Walt too, more so than anything else. Like, how can I deliver this to the guest, you know, in their room or whatever, you know, like, I think that would be intriguing to him as well. But, or, you know, how can I deliver this meal in a unique way, or I don't know, something like that. But I absolutely think that this is just the beginning. This is just the first step in what's going to be an incredibly unique and cool nighttime experience and other kinds of experience for the Walt Disney Company, 100%.
And you know what? For those of us that have been around for quite a while here in the Disney podcast community, I mean, you know, we remember hearing rumors of these wristbands that were going to help us open our room. You know, it's like, that isn't going to happen. You know, no way. And then, do you remember way back in the day when Henry from Beta Mouse used to talk to
the orb.
Yeah, that goes around. I mean, tell me that could happen. Like, now that we have these,
orb,
I mean, I was like, no way. I'm telling you, in 10 years, we might all have orbs. I'm not, and I am not joking. Like, something may hover around. Like, he used to say, someday there's going to be an orb that just follows you around on your Disney vacation, capturing all the moments. And then when you go home, like a week later, it's going to put together a scrapbook of your greatest memories. I mean, holy cow, 75% of that happens right now. You just need the orb.
It kind of does. I just need the orb. Man, Henry, I miss you. I don't know. I just have to say, I miss that. Like, I totally, man, now above any other time, we need Betamouse.
Oh, just, so true.
I miss Henry and his crazy ideas that come to fruition.
I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to announce we're going to have orbs like in the next like 2 years, like in 2019, you're going to get an orb, you know, because we were saying you're not going to get a wristband. And everybody's, you know, I got 50 of them here within 2 feet of my face. But anyway, all right. So what else is happening? There's lots to go over and not so much time. So tell us about what else is happening.
I know. So one of the really new things that I find to be most interesting is Disney has announced a brand new festival for Epcot. And it is the Epcot International Festival of the Arts. And this festival is going to celebrate visual, culinary, and performing arts inspired from all around the world, of course, with the backdrop of Epcot. It's going to take place on Fridays through Mondays, so just the weekends, from January 13th until February 20th. And it will feature gallery exhibits, foodie experiences with art-inspired menus, live Broadway-style entertainment, and more. Can I just say, like, I think that this is going to be a really cool event. I've said it kind of reminds me a little bit of the previous Festival of the Masters, which happened at Disney Springs a long time ago when it was Downtown Disney, where they would have, you know, artists and stuff like that come to Disney Springs and display their art. Here it looks like it's going to be more Disney art instead of maybe other people's art. They're going to display works of art from Mary Blair and Herb Ryman, stuff like that. And of course new artists like Joe Kaminsky and stuff like that. So I think that it's going to be a really interesting festival. The part that's really interesting to me is the Broadway Showcase, which is going to take favorite music and Broadway talents, and they're going to perform on the America Gardens Theater. As a theater nerd, can I just tell you how awesome I think this is? I would love to see, some of the Disney artists that are on Broadway right now or had been on Broadway. Like, you know, I know Josh Strickland was Tarzan, and I think that he would be really great to bring in for this, or, you know, some of the others like James Englehart and stuff like that. I would sit there for those shows, absolutely 100%. Like, that stuff really intrigues me. And if they get Disney artists the Disney theatrical artists to perform in these shows, sign me up. Like, I think it's fantastic. And then, of course, they're going to have the food studios, which are going to be marketplace booths. Of course, we have to have food. And the food studios are going to hopefully, obviously, we don't have a lot of information about it yet, but the creations that they're going to create, these culinary dishes are going to look more like pieces of art, I think. So I think that that's kind of intriguing as well. I think that this festival is a fantastic idea. It's going to be absolutely beautiful and a great experience for those who want to get a little bit more out of Epcot in this time period.
It's like going on a cruise, you know, the art, the food looks like art. You got music and yes, Broadway style shows and, you know, hey, you just don't have the ocean. You have World Showcase Lagoon.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think it's a great idea for Disney to do this. It's in a time period where they don't have a festival, of course. So now all we have is the summer where there's no festival. And I'm sure that Disney is going to come up with some sort of festival this summer or something like that, the way they're going. Because they already do the Eat to the Beat Sounds Like Summer, yep, concert series where, you know, the Bee Gees are there, but not really.
No, they'd be that's how it works. It'd be the GBs. No, actually they're called Stayin' Alive.
Yeah. So I can see them doing some sort of summer festival as well, since they already have the concerts, and it wouldn't take much to add some food booths and, you know, throw up another thing and boom, we have a new festival. But so I'm really excited to learn more about this festival as the information gets released closer to the actual date of when it starts. And I am sad that I don't think that I'll get to experience it this year, but maybe next year.
So contractually, I think we are obligated to mention the Cabanas over in Tomorrowland at the Magic Kingdom. Right?
Are we obligated? So.
Okay, I'm scared right. We'll lose our Disney credibility if we don't bring him up for a few minutes.
Absolutely. So we have the cabanas. Those are in the Magic Kingdom, obviously over by Space Mountain in Tomorrowland. They are, I think, in the section kind of by the bathrooms. You know, that used to be the Skyway, that used to enter where you used to enter the Skyway there. That of course is not there anymore. And the cabanas are going to be able to accommodate up to 8 people. They will be available for a daily rental price of $649. Cabanas will include a comfortable shaded space. Obviously, that would be the tent that you're going to get to experience. A lockable storage trunk, electronic device charging stations, personalized Mickey ears for every member of your family, access to sunscreen, hand sanitizer, and insect repellent, a small refrigerator, water and soft drinks, prepackaged snacks, a fruit basket, a one-time delivery of ice cream novelties and desserts, and a dining menu with food delivery service, and of course reserved viewing for the parades and fireworks. So they're gonna have tents that you can go to and experience at the Magic Kingdom.
Is it sad though that I'm kind of like over marathon weekend trying to pick up 7 other people and thinking about doing this? Just for the novelty of it. I mean, it's totally throwing your money away. You don't need to do it. You know, maybe if you have like little babies, but I don't even know. But I mean, I just think just for the, you know, there's certain things you do. Like you don't need to like parasail. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just like, because like you said, you broke it down. What, it's like $80 a person? You know, and you, I mean, you get Mickey ears, you get ice cream, you get soft drinks. If you break it down kind of like people try to justify club level at a resort. Okay, so Mickey ears would be $25. Mickey bars, you know, okay, now I'm up to 30. Soft drinks, maybe up to 40. You know, like, okay, so then, but I mean, you don't necessarily buy those on a typical day at the Magic Kingdom. But I mean, is it bad that I'm like, man, we should get 8 people and just try it out so we can take all kinds of selfies.
No, I get it. Like, since you can take advantage of it, like, for the entire day, if you got there at 9 and left at park close, and if it was a day where park close was, say, you know, midnight or something like that, or, you know, like, say it was New Year's Eve or something, dude, I would totally do it, because New Year's Eve, you know, you ain't gonna want to leave. Yeah, so
that's true. Hello? New Year's Eve, you just need a safe place, and that'll be it.
Exactly.
You get a couch,
and this is your safe place. So I can see it on a night like that. Like, I'd pay the $649. Heck yeah.
I would on New Year's Eve.
I know, right? Woo, money bags rolling over here. But then you look at it on like a normal like Tuesday at the Magic Kingdom, and you sit there and think, is this really worth it? And probably not. Especially when you can, book a room at the Grand Flow or the Contemporary or the Poly for one night for less than that, roughly. You're not going to get to club level for less than that, but you know, you could still book, you know, something. So, I don't know. It has its place. It needs air conditioning. So I know that this is probably a test to see how these go. And if they go well, and they build permanent ones, those better have air conditioning, and I'm sure they probably would. I would hope that they would have portable air conditioners maybe in these. I don't know. But they need some sort of air, because these suckers are going to be hot, because they are tents. And if they're there when it's hot out, it's going to be like a sauna. So there's that.
I don't want to dwell on this. Just before we move on, though, I mean, they could put these up at Epcot for New Year's Eve. They could put up 500 of these and sell them for $1,000 each. Oh. And I mean, they would make a fortune on these. Because, you know, those parks you want to stay in for the day on those long, you know, specialty days, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see them everywhere.
You know, only days where I think that this would be a good idea. You know, other than that, I mean, there are other things that you can
do. Just don't want to see them, you know, because the beauty of a Disney theme park is the aesthetics. And these things kill the aesthetics. So I don't want to see
them. These are definitely ugly. Yeah. Yes.
So they're not for everybody, but you know, that's for, you know, different strokes for different folks. All right, what else is happening in the news?
All right, so we have some information about Pandora, the world of Avatar. Woo-hoo. So if you're excited about Pandora, here it is. Okay, so Pandora is opening in the summer of 2017. There's no date, just summer of 2017. So that means that, yes, it could potentially open in September, because that's still summer. So just keep that in mind. We won't know until we're much closer when Pandora will officially open. And I suspect if it's anything like what happened with Rivers of Light, that they probably aren't going to announce the official opening until it's already been opened. And that's what I suspect is going to actually happen.
It won't be open until you see blue people getting gas at the Speedway by the beach club.
That actually, it has been finalized. It has been announced that there will be no blue people officially.
No
there
Navi?
Will be no blue cast members. So no Navi. You will not get to meet a Navi at the park.
Damn.
So that has been announced. But you will get to experience a new quick service location in Pandora, which is, I don't know why they put apostrophes in these things. Satuli Canteen. I apologize if I've mispronounced that horribly. I have no idea how that's going to actually be pronounced. There's an apostrophe in it. That's not necessary. So it's going to feature Navi art and cultural items. And what I'm hearing is something along the lines of, it's going to be Navi-inspired food. I guess apparently Navi food is very large, like 3 feet long or something. So they're going to make it human size. I don't know.
That sounds weird.
It's very weird. I have no idea what to expect with this. And I'll explain more in a second. So next we have Wind Traders, which is a merchandise location where travelers can find Navi cultural items, toys, science kits, and more. If you've seen the concept art, apparently there's this girl, little kids hugging this big blue creature that kind of looks like Skippy from Alien Encounter.
Repurposed the little guy.
It looks like they repurposed a Skippy. But anyway, so there's that. I don't know how much kids are going to want to buy the blue Skippy looking creature because, again, we'll get to that in a minute.
You know what? He could be the next Figment. You never know.
He could be. I don't think he's going to be in the park. And, you know, I think they're just going to sell these big blue, little blue stuffed animals. Anyway, so then we have Pongu Pongu, which is a special drink location with a design as eclectic as its expat owner. Having only seen Avatar once, I don't know what its expat owner is or means. So sorry for those of you who have seen Avatar more than once. There's also going to be the Avatar Flight of Passage, which of course is the attraction that is the Flight of the Banshee type thing, where guests are going to ride a Banshee over the world of Pandora. And then Navi River Journey, which is a family-friendly experience that will send guests down a sacred river hidden within a bioluminescent rainforest, which if you've seen the video of the audio animatronic from this, holy cow, can I just say the audio animatronic, whoa, that looks so fantastic. Yeah, so there's that. So here's my thoughts. Okay, I've been thinking really long and hard about this, and I know what Disney's trying to do. Obviously, they are trying desperately to compete with Harry Potter, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. The whole purpose of Pandora, the world of Avatar, you can't deny it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. This was created as a way to compete with Harry Potter. The problem is that no one knows what any of these things are.
Yeah, I have no clue. Like, I've never seen the movie, so I just know they're blue people. I only know they're called Navi or whatever because I've been reading your posts. That's the only reason.
They don't exist in the movies. These things, the Satuli Canteen, Wind Traders, and Pongu Pongu, do not exist as we know of right now because we haven't seen the second, third, or fourth Avatar because James Cameron hasn't released them because he keeps putting it off.
But you know, Darth Small's not in any of the Star Wars movies either.
Well, that's true, but of course that's a pun on, you know.
Or Admiral Snack Bar. You know, that's not in any of the movies either.
But of course, those are puns. Those are fun.
I'm just kidding.
You get what I'm saying? Like, but I know they're not in the movie, but at least those are fun puns. These are like, this is supposed to be you're going to the world of Avatar. So these aren't puns. These are actual things in that land, that area. And here's the deal. No one knows what they are. No one has a connection to these things. This is what Disney isn't getting with this. Like, there's not, like, with the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, there is a connection to every single thing in the land. There's a connection with, you know, the Leaky Cauldron. You know, that's in the book. There's, you know, I'm blanking on everything because it's so, there's the Wiseacres, you know, all these places have have counterparts in the books. They all exist. There's the shop of Fred and George that exists in the book. There's Ollivander's that exists in the book. All these places are places that you've read about. You've seen in the movies. Nobody knows. Nobody has a connection to Wind Traders or Statuli Canteen or any of these things. So Disney's really missing the point, I think, on why Wizarding World of Harry Potter is so popular and why I think that Pandora is going to be beautiful, and I think that it's going to completely blow our socks off in the regards of environment and what they're building. It's not, I still have trouble because it's just not going to have that impact that the Wizarding World of Harry Potter has, because no one has a connection to the shops and the restaurants that they're building. There's no connection. There's a disconnect.
But here's what I think about that. No, I like your passion. I mean, and I think that's, you're making a great point that you want to experience the places you've either read about and have that picture in your head of, you know, you feel like you've been there, you're having that connection. But on the opposite side, and I heard Brad Hughes talk about this on Wedway the other day or on his show, is that, and I kind of feel the same way, is that as we're getting closer, you know, it's like there's a light at the end of the tunnel finally. You know, it's still a little bit off, but you can kind of see it. Is that if this environment is as visually stunning and immersive as I'm guessing it will be. I mean, it should
be for what
they've invested in it. You know what? I'm all in. You know, I don't care if Wind Traders or whatever it's called, Trader Sam's, who cares? You know what? I'm all in, and I'll love it, and I'll spend time there if it's a place that is what I'm hoping it is. You know, I don't care about, you know, I'll buy into the story without knowing the story, but you're right. I mean, you know, that's the difference between Harry Potter and this, is that people are going somewhere. They're just longing to go, I think, with Harry Potter.
No, exactly. I mean, I'm with you 100%. I'm still open to this idea. I think the whole Pandora, like, I think Avatar was a stupid decision. Don't get me wrong. I will hold on to that forever. I think that building an Avatar themed land was a very poor decision on Disney's part. But they did it. They've you know, signed it up with James Cameron. So that's what we have. Now, saying that, I think that they're going to build a visually stunning land. They have to. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to have a lot of really unique experiences. And the bioluminescent idea in general is something that very much intrigues me. And to see what we'll be able to do with that is going to be really, really cool. I just feel like they're chasing after something that they're never going to get. They may get it with Star Wars. That's their only shot. Like, because everybody has that connection to Star Wars, and I think that that's going to be a good shot at it, depending on how they do it. But I still think that this is just a miss in regards to, I just worry that it's not going to do what they're hoping it's going to do. You know, I worry that it's going to be incredible and it's going to bring in crowds for a while because people are going to want to see it. But I just don't know that it's going to have that long time connection that they're hoping it's going to have. And I want to be wrong. I really desperately want to be wrong. And I think it's going to be beautiful. It's going to take a lot. And it's definitely going to take James Cameron's other works to make this succeed, I think, because I don't think anybody cares about Avatar. I don't.
Well, and here's the thing, too. You know, with Pandora, I wish that Disney would have gone to this length to create a land that wasn't tied to any intellectual property. You
Absolutely.
Know what? Just make their
That's
own story. Disney's good at stories.
More than
exactly. Just make a land, make it visually stunning, make it totally something new. Every dining location, every merchandise location has a story that is made up by Disney. They're great storytellers, yeah. And it doesn't have to be tied to anything. And it's really, of course, you can't say, this is going to bring the Avatar fans down. You know, I mean, that's kind of a safety net. But you know what, Disney? Trust yourself. You've told stories for decades. Tell us a story in the land,
right,
in the rides, in the restaurants, in the shops. You know, and I think that, you know what, it's sad to say, but that's kind of how it all started for Disney. But that's a unique idea right now. It's almost groundbreaking that somebody would do that without tying to IP.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're absolutely right. Is now not having an IP attraction is the groundbreaking thing, is the scary thing. And nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to take the risk. Nobody, you know, and it's sad. Because I know that these Imagineers can do something great. I know that they have the creative chops to do something like a land like this, but Disney, you know, a Disney version of this, of whatever it would be. But unfortunately, that's not what we're getting. We're getting, you know, Pandora, the world of Avatar. And again, I'm not knocking the land itself sight unseen. I think it's going to be beautiful. I just question the motives behind it. And I think that the motives were very poor.
All right. Well, we've kind of beat that into the ground, but it'll be exciting to see what happens. I mean, I hate to say, this is a lot to say. I mean, I like it because I think everybody feels, you know, one way or the other when it comes to Pandora. But I think all the good Disney fans are kind of waiting to see because we may love it. I bet it's 75-25. I'll walk in there and I'm blown away because I'm a Disney fan. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, man, this is so awesome. You know, so I don't know.
I'm sure I'll be blown away. But when you compare it to what they're attempting to compare it to, you know, what you know that that's why they did it, it doesn't come close. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just... it doesn't come close.
But it may smoke out. Yeah, but you know what? When they present it, because what happened was, I mean, think about the timeline. This thing is so long now. Harry Potter was built into Universal, and then Disney kind of got freaked out. They got James Cameron and said, we're going to make Avatar, you know, Pandora. And the thing is there's been so much time now since even Diagon Alley opened. That this could be something that just smokes out Harry Potter now because it's been 5 years.
Let's just be honest. If you think that's the end of Harry Potter at Universal, you are
no. I don't think it is. But I think I like
mistaken.
No.
Hello
but
Forbidden Beast.
I don't think so. No, you know what? And that's fine because that's good for us. You know, that's great for the fan because then you know what Disney's like. You know, so then Universal responds back with something awesome over there. And then Disney's like, wait till you see Star Wars. You know, like, you haven't seen nothing yet. You know what? We're taking you to these places that you can't even imagine. So I think it's great for us. You know, and I think that I can't wait to be there.
I absolutely agree. I am so happy that the theme park wars are back. Like, can I just tell you, it makes me so thrilled that we have this kind of competition and one-upsmanship. And I'm super stoked as a fan. Like, so happy.
I know. All right. Well, one more piece of news because the SEC championship game is tomorrow and I'm scared this podcast is going to go on until then.
All right. So I guess the only other thing that really we have to talk about is, of course, Magic Bands. You know, they have announced that the Magic Band 2 is coming out. And for those who don't know, the Magic Band 2 will include to me, it's going to be like the other Magic Band. So it's going to go around your wrist, but it's going to have a puck in the middle that can actually be removed. This puck then can go into other Magic Bands that you purchase. So say you want to buy, you know, a specialty Magic Band. You can create that at Disney, and then you'll be able to take the puck out of your Magic Band and put it in the other Magic Band. And the great part is, of course, then your information will still be on that puck. You know, obviously it's not a lot of information, you know, it's, you know, just whatever Disney has now currently. But it's still going to be, so you can just keep taking that puck everywhere. You can put the puck inside things like keychains, you know, so that way you don't have to have a Magic Band if you don't want to wear a Magic Band on your wrist. I think that that's probably really unique as well because, you know, right now, you know, I'm sitting here and I've got my, you know, Apple Watch on my arm and then, you know, I have to wear my Magic Band on my other wrist and, you know, I've got other things, you know, bracelets or whatever on that arm and it's just, it gets to be too much. So I'm excited to be able to get to experience this and the fact that I don't have to carry a Magic Band if I don't want to. I can have something else. For those who are worried as well, the puck is not easily removable in the sense that it's not something like your kid's going to be able to slip out and then choke on.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just one more thing to lose, it sounds like to me.
Yes, it's not going to be like the magic gibbets or whatever they had that, you know, you put in the thing and then it falls out after 2 seconds. So, it's actually got screws in the back of the underside of the Magic Band. And they're going to give you like a little screwdriver, And you're going to be able to unscrew it. It's kind of like, you know, eyeglasses, when you have like a screwdriver for eyeglasses. So I'm sure you'll be able to use one of those if you have those at home too. And you'll be able to unscrew that and then put the puck in whatever other thing you want to put it in and then screw it back in. So you're going to be safe. No little kids will be able to choke on it. Cause I know that that was one of the questions that a lot of people had. These Magic Band 2s are also, a little more comfortable. I think that they're a little thinner in the sense of the band itself is thinner. I think that, of course, the puck area is bigger than the current Mickey head area right now on the Magic Band. I'm not sure how much bigger it is, you know, comparatively speaking, because I haven't tried one on yet. It's just something like an Apple Watch or something like that. But it is a little bit bigger, so just keep that in mind as well. But the band itself, I believe, is a little more flexible. I think that it's an interesting idea. Of course, Disney was going to have a new version of Magic Band come out because you knew, you know, that A, they were going to come up with new technological advances with this, and B, hello, it's another way to make more money selling these new versions of Magic Bands. So, true, I mean, that. You knew that was going to happen, but these Magic Bands too should be out in the next few months. I expect that they'll be introduced within, probably starting within the new year. So,
well, don't get me wrong, I love a good Magic Band, or you know,
yeah, 100. You have a bunch.
I have quite a few, but I think the time has come. I mean, think about this. Again, it's not a merchandise seller. You know, this is something that would be, but it wouldn't affect. It would be a great convenience for a small percentage of theme park guests. But you know what? Let your smartwatch become your device to unlock the room door, just like at some hotels and everything, or your smartphone, because everybody has a smartphone. Let the app do all these things. You know, touch points to get in and to open your room. You know, I think the time has come. You know that. That should be an option, because really it's more environment. You know, I'm sitting here. I shouldn't be the one saying this with 100 Magic Bands in my house, but it's a way to be more environmentally friendly. You know what? There's no carbon footprint to using that as your entry media into the park and, you know, your charging device. And so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe you have a Magic Band as a backup, but they need to give us that option sooner rather than later.
And I think that that's kind of what they're hoping this new version of Magic Band is going to do. Because then you maybe, you know, I don't know what they're planning, but, you know, maybe if you are having a split, say, you don't have to get, you know, two Magic Bands. You can just have the puck and it'll work overall. Or, you know, maybe... You know, because it's only going to be tied to the puck, or, you know, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe they won't have to send you out Magic Bands all the time. You know, like you have your million Magic Bands because you have so many different trips. They can see, oh, this person already has a puck, so they don't need a new one, you know? So that's what I think we're going to see with this. Obviously, I don't know. We're going to find out more, I'm sure, as time goes on. But I think the goal was to potentially cut down on waste. But who knows, you know? Who knows what they're actually going to do with these Magic Bands?
Yeah, it's like, I should decline.
I would love to be able to use my smartwatch.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I would much rather use my Apple Watch or my smartphone, because everybody has a smartphone now. Teenagers, you know, everybody has a smartphone, and that would be a very efficient way to get this done. And I know I could decline all these Magic Bands, and I should, but there's just something about that day when that box shows up at your house. You're just like, yeah, we're going on vacation again. I got to stop. You know, customizing them. I got to start declining. I just have to do it. But yeah. I get so, you know, I'm such a Disney fan. I love that.
I'm almost to the point where I finally have every single color. So I haven't gotten that far, because I don't stay on property all the time. Staying off property, I don't get all the, I don't get Magic Bands all the time. So I'm finally almost to the point where I have every color. And once I get to the point, then I'm going to be like, okay, done. I'm done until my, you know, that Magic Band stops working, which they said 2 years, and we're definitely past that 2 year point. So we'll see when that actually stops working. But yeah, it's I'm about the point too where I'm done. I don't need any more Magic Bands. I've got every color, so I'm good. And you have like every color times 1,000.
Yeah, well,
so
that's what happens when you got four people too. And you do split stays all the time. They're everywhere. Absolutely. But you know, and absolutely. The thing is, it's kind of funny, is people think that like the box of Magic Bands that comes for, say, your marathon weekend trip coming up here in 4 weeks is the Magic Bands for that trip. You know, realistically, I could grab any magic band off this mic boom right here, because all they do is just grab my information from my My Disney Experience account. And as long as it's active, and I mean, I could go through and find the number just to double check to make sure it is active, but I don't deactivate mine like Pam tells me I should. And when I go to a cast member because my magic band isn't working, I just love seeing their face when they're profile, like, oh, have you been here before?
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like, you have a problem. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
You need to not have so many magic bands.
Magic bands, yeah. Anonymous or something. But yeah, it's crazy. I need to stop doing it. But yeah, the time has come to use the smart devices and kind of move
absolutely
forward.
Absolutely. And I think that, unfortunately, you know, Disney has invested so much money in this magic band technology that they're just not willing to go, okay, you know what, we'll start allowing smartphones and start allowing, you know, Apple Watches and start allowing all that. I think that they've spent so much money at this point, they're like, nope, we're going to make this work as much as we can.
True that. All right, well, Ricky, thanks so much for the news, and, you know, still more to cover, but we'll cover that in the weeks to come. But kind of good catching up with what's going on down at our favorite place.
It's been a lot, definitely.
All right. Well, it's time to get on with your weekend. Don't forget today's show. It is a Friday, brought to you by Drew Baker. So if you're looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture, give Drew a call over at 260-271-1050. You can drop him an email at drew.baker@ampf.com, or you can look him up online at ameriprizeadvisors.com/drew.baker. And when it comes time to book that next Disney getaway, use the great travel agents over at The Magic for Less. They support the Be Our Guest podcast. They help keep us on the air. And again, it costs the exact same booking with The Magic for Less as it does booking directly through Disney. And you're going to get first-class concierge-level service each and every time. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Do check out Magical Mouse Radio, great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week over at magicalmouseradio.com. And check us out on the social media at Be Our Guest Mike, both on Instagram and Twitter. And drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/Be Our Guest podcast. All right, we're going to be back again on Monday with another great show to start your next work week, but let's don't worry about that now. It's the weekend. Let's kick back.
It is the weekend.
Let's watch some football. It's championship Saturday tomorrow in college football, so lots to see. And Ricky, what's on your agenda for this first weekend of December?
Christmas shopping.
Amazon
Since,
Prime.
I know. Since we're going to be visiting Missouri next weekend, it's crunch time, so I am in panic mode. Definitely in panic mode.
Good stuff. We'll have good luck finding some bargains.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe and roll tide. We'll see you real soon. I'll hear about that one.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.